Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Well, good morning and God bless you to our online family and everyone in Chicago. God bless you guys. I trust that you have already had a wonderful time in the Lord's presence, and now we are ready to receive the Word of God, and I am excited once again to be bringing the last message in the Keep Us in Step series. The Lord has placed upon my heart a burden to communicate to you the importance of walking in the Spirit. How many want to walk in the Spirit around here? How many want to have days and weeks and moments when we're being led by the power of the Holy Spirit, where we're avoiding evil, avoiding the works of the flesh, taking advantage of moments to become a blessing because God is upon you and God is using you? Is anybody excited to walk in the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit? Come on, let's put our hands together because we believe that God wants to use us in these days. Hallelujah. Now, as we look at this last message, I'd like to point out that keeping in step with the Holy Spirit can only be accomplished by winning a double war. Every believer, every child of God has to win on a consistent basis a double war. You have to win the war of the flesh against the Spirit, as we've been covering in the last number of weeks together. There's a war inside of you all the time. The flesh wars against the Spirit. The Spirit wars against the flesh, and the Spirit is able. Romans 8:13 says, but if you by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you shall live. So there's a victory that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit over the flesh, but that's not the only war. There's a second war, and it's a war that we all face, which comes at us not just by the devil's schemes, but literally by the spirit of this world. That's what the Bible tells us. Love not the world or the things of this world. There is a world system that is constantly working against us in very, very strong, constant, powerful ways. It's like a force. There's a force. There are forces in this world that work against us. And today we're going to be looking at a very thorough explanation of that war, not just in us, but around us. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read an entire book of the Bible to you. Are you ready in Chicago? Come on, break out your sandwiches. We're going to be here a while. No, not really. It's just 24 verses. We're going to be looking at the book of Jude. So turn in your Bible to the book of Jude. It would be great for you to look at it if you got your word with you, but it will also come up on the screen. And as I read all 25 verses or 24 verses of the book of Jude, I want to tell you up front, the book of Jude has really good news up front, then very sober news that we should hear today, and then powerful news at the end. And when we're done with the book of, with reading the entire book, and I'm going to make some comments about it to you, then we're going to focus in on just two verses. So let's go ahead and begin Jude chapter 1. Or there's only one chapter. Jude verse 1 goes as follows. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Here's great news for you. You are called, you are loved, and you are kept by the power of the living God. The Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have called you, love you, and will keep you. Anybody excited about that good news today? Blessed be the name of the Lord for the goodness that we have, all wrapped up in our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. The overflow of your relationship with God gives us mercy and peace and love, overflow in abundance. Now we get into the book. That was the greeting. That's the good news. It's so wonderful to receive all of the things that are found in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for our lives. Now listen to this, dear friends. Although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Everybody say, contend for the faith. One more time, contend for the faith. This is talking about the double war. There's a war inside of you, but then there's another war outside of you and all around you where you have to contend for the faith. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So he said, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. We have been entrusted with the sacred faith. We have been entrusted with a sacred trust to live out the will and the ways of God, and there is great contention in all of our efforts to keep in step with the Spirit while we are contending for the faith. Now listen to this. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. Listen, this is the sober part. Pay attention. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know this, I want to remind you. Now listen, this is a very sober reminder to all of us. If you're watching online, okay, if you are here and it's been a while since you've been to church or you've been coming to church for years, this is a very powerful, very sober, very important reminder. Even though we have all of this abundance of mercy, love, and peace available to us in the Godhead, these are the facts of life. Can I read the facts of life to you today? When you think about everything that's happening in this world and what's happening in Israel, and as time is clearly marching to the end, I've got news for you. We don't know who the Antichrist is, and we don't know when the world is going to end, and we don't understand all of the outcomes of this conflict or that conflict. The Bible says there will be wars and rumors of war, but don't be alarmed. Literally, in the book of Matthew, it says, don't be alarmed. Don't let all of the craziness of this world freak you out. However, you should be sober as a child of God. Be sober, because people slip in among us, and there are a lot of voices in the church, and they deny the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. He says, though you already know all of this, I remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. The flesh can lead us into a state of unbelief. We need to walk by faith. Unbelief is as great a sin as any other sin. Don't allow yourself to slip into a state of unbelief, is what he was saying. Let me keep going. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. This is another. First, he starts with the theme of unbelief. Now he's talking about the theme of rebellion. People who walked away, not people, angels that walked away from the sacred post that God had given them. And they gave in to the great rebellion that was led by Satan. Listen, going on, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffered the punishment of eternal fire. How we use our bodies, what we put into our bodies. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just because your flesh wants something doesn't mean you give in to the flesh. The Holy Spirit can keep us. And we do not dishonor the Word of God and the ways of God by giving into whatever we want with our bodies. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we don't give in to perversions or immoralities. I told you this was sober, but this is important for us to know. This is in the New Testament. Listen soberly today. Take heart to the Word of God. There are promises and there are admonitions. There are moments when the Word of God says, wake up. There are moments when the Word of God warns us. Let's pay attention today. God is reminding us that walking in the Spirit is not a novelty. Walking in the Spirit is so vitally important to every child of God. Real Christianity means that you and I yield to the sovereign King. He's mighty. He's glorious. He rose from the dead. He offered himself. He paid the blood with his own blood. He paid with the precious price of his own life for you and I. And so we are called to treat him as a holy God, as the holy Lord. Watch this. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. It's going over these three themes all over again. Some people might say, look, smoking weed is legal. What's the big deal? It's poison for your body. If it pollutes your body, it's not of God. It doesn't matter if our warped government, if our government gets to the point where it dishonors God, that's what happens. The minds of men get warped. And yet at the same time, we recognize their authority and we honor it. That's one of the things that you'll see here. Watch this. But even the archangel Michael, when he disputed with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." What is this talking about? This is saying that when the archangel, when Michael the angel was dealing with the devil, who used to be an angel, the devil is a fallen angel, just out of his recognition of the post that he used to carry, instead of coming at him, he refused to slander him. He refused to dishonor even the post that he used to have. So all he said to Satan is, "The Lord rebuke you." You see, truth can rebuke all on its own. We don't have to go after authority. Can I give you a piece of advice? Try your best to be as respectful as possible. Try your best to teach your kids to be as respectful as possible. That's why even when you think about the political landscape, yes, our government has gotten warped. Yes, we are diluting the truth. The Word of God is the truth, and we know that to be true. But we do not slander leaders. We do not slander authorities. We are called to pray for authorities. Lord, have mercy from the president on down, Lord. Have mercy on all of them, whether we don't agree with all of them, but have mercy on them. Because one day they will stand before God and they will have to give an answer. They will have to give an account for the decisions that they made. Our mayor in Chicago, the leaders here in Philadelphia, they will stand before God for the laws. The teachers' union will stand before God for the things that they decided to push. No one will avoid these realities. It says, yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and the things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. I told you this was sober a little bit more. It'll get good again. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. So Balaam chased money over the prophetic, powerful word of God. Okay, money should not be an idol among us. Money is a compliment that God provides for us, but we want to serve the Lord Jesus above the pleasures of money. Somebody say amen. It says they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Once again, the word rebellion is mentioned. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. There are people who assume post of leadership, a position of leadership, and because they have a gift of leadership on their life, they take advantage of people and they suck everything out of people, but God will hold them accountable. Listen, every once in a while, we have to deal with stuff in the church. We have people will come into the church and try to take advantage of people. God have mercy on all preachers, but there are preachers right now who are standing and taking advantage of people because they're using the word of God for their own profit. God have mercy on them. God have mercy on me. God have mercy on all of the pastors, because there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day when we have to give an account for what we said. Did we try to flatter you? Did we try to make you happy with things that you want to hear? Did we give you words that tickle your ears, or did we tell you the truth because we love you? This is very important, very powerful truth for all of us. Listen to this. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. They are autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. No roots, no fruit, that's twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Beware of being starstruck, because there are a lot of stars out there. They're just wandering stars. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation from Adam, listen to this, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see, when you walk in the Spirit, you are always moving towards godliness. That's the whole purpose of walking in the Spirit. It says, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. That's the end of the sober news. A little bit more. But can I tell you something? This is a good, helpful, even refreshing exercise. To read the Word of God like this and read the Word of God out loud like this is really, really good for all of us. Now, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, here's the key verses for us today. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Are you waiting for Jesus to come back? Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is coming back soon. Get your heart ready. Get your life ready. Get your family ready. Get your kids ready. Do whatever you need to do to walk in the Spirit, because Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, his reward is in his hand. He will receive us. He will greet us. He will deliver us from this fallen world. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Hallelujah. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. We got to get busy for Jesus. We got to snatch people. Easter season is coming. We got to snatch people. We've got to invite people so that they could come and hear about the amazing, abundant love of Jesus. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Almost done here. Almost done. Now, here is the powerful news. Okay? Listen to this. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Okay, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together and bless him. Can I tell you something today? He is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep you from falling and to fill you with great joy in this dark world, in the battle, fighting the double war. God is able to keep us. We can walk in the Spirit. He can keep us in step with the Holy Spirit. God is promising. God is backing his word and saying, if you will put your faith in me, I will keep you from falling with great joy. How many believe that and want to receive that right now in Jesus' name? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I want to pray right now, and here's what the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, and we'll spend the rest of this unpacking this. We won't be long, but here's what he's saying. If you're going to win that double war, if you want to win the war against the flesh and the war against what's happening in this world, you have to build in the Spirit. The title of the message today is Build in the Spirit. And I want to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for this time that we could gather together around your word. God, we are one church in two cities. We gather in Chicago, we gather in Philadelphia, and Lord, we also gather all over the globe as people tune in from different places. We gather together, Lord, around your word. You put your word above your name, the Bible says, and your word is life. Your word is quick and powerful, oh God. So Lord, would you breathe on our time together, and would you burn, oh God, the truths of your word into our hearts, because Lord, we want to build in the Spirit, Lord Jesus. We want to contend for the faith by the power of the Spirit of the living God, because we know that you are able to keep us from falling and you are able to fill us with great joy. So we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Bless this word. Help us to receive in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. I know that was a lot, but it was very, very, supportive to our soul, edifying to our soul to read that much of Scripture today. And here's what the Bible is teaching us. Here's what we're learning today. Walking in the Spirit only happens if you pay attention and deal with the contention. So you have to pay attention and you have to deal with the contention. there is this never-ending contention that is coming at you as a child of God. That's why Jude said, contend for the faith. It's always around us. It's always coming at us. Here's what contend means. Contend means to struggle with skill and commitment against an opposing force. It means that you and I have to get aggressive when it comes to dealing with the opposing forces around us. If you don't get aggressive about keeping in step with the Spirit, if you're not living in a sense on the footing, on a war footing, like, hey, this is a battle, well, guess what? There's no way you'll walk in the Spirit. There's no way you'll keep in step with the Spirit. When I was in college, I actually visited a friend of mine on the West Coast, and he took me to a spot where we could see Mount St. Helens, which had erupted a number of years before. And so he took me into this kind of foresty area, and everything was still covered with all the soot that was spewed out by Mount St. Helens, and we were miles away. I couldn't believe how far the soot of the eruption of that volcano, so to speak, how far it reached. But so we were standing in part in soot, and then there was a river going right by us. And I grew up in Brooklyn. I didn't know about any of this, but I was standing by the side of the river, and it was like the river was like glass. So I have a picture of a river that I want to put up for you right now. And if you and I were standing on the side of this river, when we look at this river, because of the white water and because you see, there's kind of a built-in warning signal to it that says, hey, when you step in, be careful, because the flow of that is strong enough potentially to wash you away. And so if you stepped into the water, you would be careful because it'll carry you away. You got to be careful. So anyway, when I'm standing at the shore, that it was nothing like that. It was completely like glass. Now, when you look closely, you could tell there was some movement, but it almost looked like the water was moving like 1 mile an hour, like just creeping along. And my friend, this big country boy, he's one of my teammates, my friend says to me, Al, watch this, let's get in the water. So he goes, but we have to hold on to each other. So he's bigger than me. He grabbed my shoulders, and I grabbed his shoulders, and he said, okay, just follow me, but hold on to me tight. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? He's like, I'm telling you, hold on to me tight. So we're holding on tight, and he goes, okay, step in the water. And we stepped in the water, and when we stepped in the water, it was probably about to hear. I could not believe how strong. And then he said, okay, move over, step in again. And we stood in the water, and that quiet glass that would like you would never imagine, when we stepped into that stream, we had to hold on to each other, because if we didn't, it was about this high. It was so strong, it would have completely just washed us away. Here, two big, strong college guys, and we're holding on for dear life. And you know what? It reminds me, now that I'm a Christian, it reminds me, brothers and sisters, just because the stream looks quiet, just because you can't can't fully see it doesn't mean it's not strong. And I'm standing here. I'm telling you right now, you have to pay attention. You have to contend for the faith. You have to fight that stream that is trying to blow you down. It's trying to move you away from the will of God. It's trying to sweep you away into places of bondage and places of darkness. But you can stand by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can stand in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I can stand in Jesus' name. Beware. Beware, because the stream, Christians, we swim upstream. Christians, we walk upstream. We move against the grain. We don't follow the world. We go against the ways of the world. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. But if you don't pay attention to the contention, you are swept away. Every generation of God, every culture has to contend against the unholy streams, no matter how quiet they become. So are you being swept away? Are you accepting the lies of this world? People put all sorts of definitions on what's right and wrong. The Word of God is what tells us is the way to life and the way to blessing and the way to joy and the way to peace. How many want to choose the Word of God today? And this is why I'll just say this. Look, if you don't fight to walk in the Spirit, you'll never walk in the Spirit. If you don't recognize that there's 60% 60,000 thoughts every day. You have to fight for the mind of Christ. You have to fight to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, because otherwise the stream, you see, the talk shows, the news, the Whoopi Goldbergs and all of her friends, they will convince you. They will be clever. They will be smart. They will convince you of things that are not true. It's unholy streams. So what does this Bible tell us about building? What does the Bible tell us about building in the Spirit? And we'll apply this now. Watch what Jude says. Jude says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up, everybody say, build me up, Lord. By building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So he's giving us two key things that we need so that we can win this battle. How do you build yourselves up? Number one, build yourself up with the Word. When the Bible says build yourself up in your most holy faith, what is it that produces faith in the child of God? The Word of God is what builds faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. You have to fill yourself with the Word of God. The Word of God is always at the center of the works of God. You never find the work of God without the Word of God. It's always together. The Word and the Spirit work together. And so the more you fill yourself with the Word, the stronger you'll be. The Word will be the key to your standing against the stream. The Word will be the key to you and I not slipping and falling by the deceptive streams of this world. No matter what the current is, we have to understand we have been given a faith once and for all. The Word of God is your standard and my standard. It was given once and for all for us to stand. And when we go by the Word, how many know he is able not just to keep us from falling, but to give us great joy? If you want great joy, fill yourself with the Word. You will be blown away by how much joy you have just because you're full of the truth of God. The most holy faith is built by time with the Word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now listen, here's the interesting thing as I kind of unpack this to you, because I want this to be super practical. okay? The Bible says that build your life on the Word, okay? The Bible tells us that the Word of God is the rock, and when you build your life on the rock, then you can withstand all of the storms. We know that. But you are not only standing in the Word, you are, you're not only called to build your life on the Word, but you're actually meant by God, by the Spirit of God, to become like a rock. The rock is not only under you, but the rock is meant to be in you. Look at what this says in 1 Peter 2:5. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Word, the rock is not just on you, under you, the rock is in you. You are a living stone. God wants to make you like a holy brick in His kingdom. That's what the Word of God does. Now watch this. I got a clip for you. A podcast of one or the other. And even the world at times recognizes what's happening because of the internet and the cultural streams. I'm not criticizing the internet, but when you make a Google your authority, let me tell you something, you're jumping into the wrong stream. Listen to this. Listen to two podcasters talking about a leading psychologist in our country. Listen to this.
One thing you did a podcast on recently was about switching gears, anxiety, and how when something's in the air and people are talking about it all the time, does that affect how people start feeling about whether they have whatever people are talking about? What did you learn? Can you just summarize the podcast for my people that might not have listened to it?
Absolutely. So I did a podcast with a USC clinical psychologist named Darby Saxby, who introduced me to a term a few months ago that I've never shaken, which is prevalence inflation. And her theory is, we live in a world where anxiety and mental health issues have been destigmatized. It used to be shameful to say that you had depression or anxiety. Clearly, people cover that up with substance abuse for decades. But today, there's a way in which mental health issues, anxiety and depression, have become kind of like identities. People talk about them openly and sometimes even proudly on social media. And she said, I wonder whether the pendulum has swung a little too far, where we aren't just getting the benefits of destigmatization, but actually the prevalence of these ideas that the normal problems of life are actually disorders of anxiety and depression, that might be making people sick. It might be getting them to think of just the normal warp and weft of life as being a sign of anxiety disorder, which makes them think they have anxiety, which makes them draw back from the real world, from the physical world, which means they ruminate over their thoughts, which actually gives them anxiety. And in this way, she said, you can see how the internet and the way the internet talks about mental health might be really bad for our mental health. And we need a better way of talking about anxiety and depression on the internet if we actually want to dispel this stuff rather than just marinate in it.
Wow. If they could send me a keyboard player. Wow. Brothers and sisters, what is the psychologist saying? The psychologist saying is, if we're not careful, we will be swept away into the kind of thinking that says, you know what, I wear my mental health issues like a badge. I'm proud of my trauma. I'm proud of what I struggle with. And obviously, it's so heartbreaking when someone is in the battle. Mental health is a legitimate issue of our day. But if you're not careful, the streams of this world will tell you, you'll never get out of that issue. You'll never stop taking medication. You should be proud of it. I was talking to someone one day and saying, look, this is clear. The Word of God says A and B. This is just pure truth. It's logical. And you know what they said to me? They said, yeah, but trauma is not logical. I said, exactly. So don't back your own trauma. That's what the world is teaching you. Don't protect your trauma. Get free of your trauma. Let the Holy Spirit set you free. The Word of God is quick and powerful. The truth of God can transform your mind and transform your heart and your feelings and your emotions. God is able, but you got to be full of the Word. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. The Word is the key to freedom. The Word is the key to joy. The Word is the key to victory. Instead of what the world is saying, instead of going to the internet, let's fill ourselves with the Word of God. Let's stand on the Word of God. Let's consume the Word of God. And let's watch the great joy and liberty and transformation that comes from the Word of God. I tell people all the time, read the Bible 30 days straight and watch what happens to your soul. Watch what happens to your mind. So the first thing is you got to build yourself up in the most holy faith. There will never be a replacement for your relationship to Jesus through His Word. Jesus is the Word. And when we fill ourselves with the Word, the streams of this world, the streams of this world cannot wash you away. The best thing you can do, the best form of self-care is, first of all, build yourself up in the most holy faith by filling yourself with the Word of God. Secondly, He tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit. So how do you stand against the stream? You build yourself up in your most holy faith, and then you pray in the Spirit. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you have to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit is giving you a spirit of prayer. You see, when you're full of faith, the Spirit starts to give you a spirit of prayer. I'm not talking about prayer like when you say grace. Even though God can anoint a moment just like that, but when it's talking about praying in the Spirit, it's talking about praying in the Spirit in the context of warfare. It's talking about you and I understanding that there's a wrestling that takes place in the spiritual realm. If you want freedom in your mind, you have to fight. You have to pray. You have to pray in the Spirit, brothers and sisters. Don't lay down. Don't accept the report of this world. Get on your knees. Cry out to God. If you call upon Him, He will deliver you. That's what the Bible says. You got to learn how to pray through. You got to learn how to wrestle through. In the book of Romans, it says, we know not how we ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession through us. See, my goal as a pastor is to make sure that the people of God, they are not just full of the Word, but they're also learning how to pray in the Holy Spirit. You got to learn how to pray through on your own. You get a hold of a truth of God, and you bring a situation to God, and you pray until you can say, oh, I broke through today. I've said to my wife many times, I feel like I broke through in prayer today. She said to me, I broke through in prayer today. There are limitations. There are walls of resistance that are coming at your life. And you know how you take care of that? You wrestle with God. You pray in the Spirit, and you break through in Jesus' name. Great victory always takes place in the spiritual realm before it's manifest in the physical realm. I'm almost done, but this is very, very important. Listen to this. One of my favorite Puritans put it this way: prayer is a means of establishment. We are kept by God's power, and God's power is set. Let me say that one time. Prayer is a means of establishment. It anchors you. We're kept by God's power, and God's power is set awork by prayer. This is the breath that stays in the fire. Men that neglect prayer find sensible decays. when you neglect prayer, the things that the world offers us, getting out of the spirit makes a lot of sense. Listen, no wonder if men grow unsavory, worldly, voluptuous when they let days go by and weeks go by and God never hears from them. Brothers and sisters, God needs to hear from you. God wants to hear from us. God loves when we bring our greatest challenges and we wrestle in prayer with Him. One more quick illustration and then we're going to close. So it's interesting because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a wrestling match. And you know, it's funny because you can think you're strong. You could work out in the gym. You could even be a good athlete and think you're strong. But you don't know strong until you've met a wrestler. We got a brother here in Philadelphia who is on the Rider University wrestling team. He's always telling me about their workouts and what they do, and it's so intense. And again, many, many years ago in college, there was a guy on the team who had been a wrestler. And so many of us thought we were so strong. And one day I was like, come on, man. How strong could you be? You know, I can take you. I'm from Brooklyn. And so anyway, I tried to wrestle a minute with this guy. And he kind of picked me up and twirled me around like I was a little stick and put me on the ground. And before I knew it, I was in a pretzel under him. I could not believe how strong he was. And you know what? When you wrestle, you get a certain kind of strength. And listen, when you wrestle in the spirit, there's a certain kind of strength and a certain kind of blessing that comes. Yes, I'm telling you that you got to learn how to wrestle in the spirit. And I want to close with this story that took a guy who was known to be a flim-flam man, a bit of a con artist. He loved God, and he wanted the blessing of God, but he always did it in the flesh, and it brought him so much trouble. Listen to this. His name was Jacob, which literally meant one who goes after things in a fleshly way. Watch this. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "Here it is, guys. I will not let you go unless you bless me." When you wrestle with God, you say, "God, I'm holding on to you until you bless me. I'm holding on to you until you break through all of the layers of all of the struggles, of all of the issues, of all of the people, of all of the politics, of all of the battles, of all of the junk of the past, oh God. I won't let you go until you step in with your powerful hand and you put a blessing upon my life." It says the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The name that he was given in the past. And here, listen to this. That man saying, "Your name will no longer be Jacob." He literally changed his name, speaking of his character, speaking of his destiny. He said, "But Israel, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled or wrestled with God and with humans and have overcome." You want to overcome? Wrestle with the Lord. Cry out to God. Knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, and watch what the Lord will do for your life. Breakthrough is here. Breakthrough is waiting in 2024. We've been praying 2024 is going to be a year of blessing, a year when heaven opens over our lives. But guess what, brothers and sisters? We got to learn how to wrestle with God. Don't wrestle with people. Don't wrestle with the TV. Don't wrestle with the news. Work your stuff out by praying in the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to do today, in a moment, one of the pastors is going to come, and they're going to give you, and we're going to give you two opportunities to respond to God. We're going to give you the opportunity first to accept Jesus. But then we're also going to give you the opportunity to say, God, I want to be built up in the Spirit, and I want to learn how to build in the Spirit. So come on, let's just for a moment, let's lift our hands right now.